Welcome to the San Antonio Baptist Association. You're listening to a Sabbath Talks podcast.
This is Roland Lopez with the fourth podcast here at Sabbath Talks. And around the table, we have George Ramirez, who is the pastor of the Springs Church here in San Antonio, and Herbert Helbison, the pastor of the Exchange Life Church, and Sammy Lopez, who is a pastor of Mighty Fortress Christian Fellowship here in San Antonio. And so we welcome you today in listening to this podcast, and we're going to start off with this is the fourth one, and it's been about church planting, and so today we will be speaking about a subject that I think is going to be of high value to those that are contemplating, thinking about being a church planter, and then those that are already church planters, and then pastors that you might identify in your church, those that God has called to plant a church. So, Brother George, start our conversation.
Yeah, well, we were looking at this whole thing of church planting, and the last thing we wanted to kind of discuss was what are some of the nuts and bolts of church planting? Because while the times change, some of the basics in ministry will not change. And so when you look at church planting and the nuts and bolts of it, I'm going to go around the table and ask you all, what do you think some of the nuts and bolts are in church planting? And I just wanted to begin by saying that I think the most important thing is that the planter knows that they know that God has called them to do it. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a call to this.
Good.
Because it's different than going to an established church. It's different than going into another type of ministry. Planting a church has its own challenges and its own timetable that can only be accomplished, I think, is if you know for sure that this is something that God has called you to do and that you're willing to respond to the call to do. Because there's so many ups and downs that come in church planting.
Mm-hmm. Sammy, would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I think if anything,
you better agree with it.
Absolutely. I think oftentimes church planting is sexy. It's a sexy word. For lack of a better word, it looks good, because again, there is this certain persona that I think church planting has created itself to be. And all of a sudden, someone wants to be a church planter because it's good, it's nice, it's enticing. And you'll be surprised how many people that have gotten to church planting, first of all, have never been called of God, period, to do such a work. It will not only destroy the work, but unfortunately, it will destroy his family, it will destroy his life. And so, no, I wholeheartedly agree. I would say that whoever listens to this podcast, if you're thinking about being a church planner, really consider the cost. Count the cost. I mean, the Apostle Paul said to count it. Yeah. We must count the cost, because this is going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you your reputation. It's going to cost you a living expense, but it's going to cost you. And, you know, I think what happens is that we see, man, oh, yeah, you know, Rick Warren, man, he's started off in his living room. Look where he's at now. Or Stephen Furtick, man, he started off in the garage. Look at where he's at now. And we see the bigger picture, and we went the bigger picture before we realized that, man, the cuts and the bruises and the beats and the bumps that you're going to get. Right, right. No, man.
The price was paid.
That's right. You got to have a calling on this, because this is not for the weak.
If you were going to, we're talking about nuts and bolts, right? So, okay, let's say you started the church, you've begun the church, okay, and you know God's called you. What's one thing that you would do from your experience, what's something that you would do to make sure that you did it from the get-go, now that you know what you should be doing, what you should have done, that now you're looking back and you're going, I should have done that first, or I should have done, what's something you would have done first?
I read a story recently about a plane that was going down the runway, and as I read the article, they as they took off, they crashed into some trees, ended up crashing and burning. Mm. And what happened was they chose the wrong runway to go down. They didn't have enough length, and they ended up burning. And as I read that, what it did, it took me back to the early years of my ministry, where I realized that I truly, in all my heart, I believe that there were some people that just some genuine, just great people, and I didn't build the runway long enough for them to where they either fell away. And I think if I could go back, one of the nuts and bolts in what I'm really implementing now is just really building that runway for people, investing in people, investing in leadership, trying to give the ministry away. I think that too many times we try to do it all ourselves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would have this crazy, dumb thought that, this is so hard, I don't want anyone else to do it. Right, but what I didn't realize is that the reason why I was growing in my faith is because I was being challenged. So you'll never be able to grow to what you're not challenged to. And so what I was doing is I was robbing the people of growing in their faith by not challenging them. And I think that people want to rise to the occasion. People want to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm realizing now is that I'm trying to give leadership, trying to give ministry away, but in a way that I'm helping them build that runway so that they can have a smooth takeoff.
That's a good, bro.
You know, through the years, I have gone over some of the church planting that I've done, and if I had to do some things over again, one of the things that I would do would be reiterating over and over and over again to the people that are part of this small church, this small gathering, what church planting is all about. Hmm. Because what they think church planting is about is not what you think. You may have the idea, and you may be running with it, but they know diddly about it.
Right.
The only thing that they know is that you're starting a new church, and in their mind, their mental model of church is where they came from. Or their middle model of church, to say that they didn't come from any other church, but everybody, no matter who it is, has a mental model of church. And so they come in. So you've got to reiterate over and over again what you're about. So if I had to do it over again, I would spend a lot of time sharing with the people, folks, let me tell you what this church that we're planting is about and what church planting is all about. Let me tell you what it's not. And let me tell you what it is, what this church is.
Good.
And so that, to me, if I had to do it over again, I'd definitely. And then another area would be sharing with the people that in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, that God gave some to be.
That's it.
Apostles. I like the way the Spanish reads that says, Dios constituyó, that God constituted some to be. That word constitute means God wired you to be. So God wired you to be the function of that apostle, that individual that will be a church planter, that individual who's going to be that prophet to, that is sent with the word of God, that evangelist. God has constituted you to be an evangelist. God has constituted you to be a pastor teacher. And so these things need to be taught to the people that within that congregation, these functions are in existence. And so that way everybody takes their place so that I might be able to effectively then assign them within the body so that we might be able to function properly as a body of Christ.
No, absolutely. You know, we're talking about what we would have done differently. If I can go back and do church planting differently, I wouldn't have been a church planter. I'm playing. Definitely.
I would have joined the military.
I would have joined the military. I would have to learn my limits. I think what happens is that we don't learn our limits. What you just mentioned, the function of the ministry. I'm a pastor evangelist. That's my calling. I'm a horrible administrator. And I remember my first church, I would try to administer it, to be administrator and then be this and be that. I cannot be all things to all people. Matter of fact, one of the books that, and for those that are listening, if you have never read this book, go grab it. It's an older book, but it really helped me to become a better leader. There's two books. One is called The Last Generation Leader by Andy Stanley. he gives a great breakdown when it comes to know your limits and focus on your absolute call. That's number one. In the number two, there's another book called Lincoln on Leadership. It is a book on how Abraham Lincoln was a leader and how he became a great president. But again, it's going back to what Abraham Lincoln did. He focused on his strengths. I think what happens is that we don't focus on our strengths. We want to be an all-around leader. Man, it will burn you out. Yeah. It will cause disruption in your life. It will discourage you if we try to be this and this and this and this and this to all people. The Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all people so that by all means I may win some. I understand that, but we put that in the context. He's not saying you got to be this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, so that you can be a great all-around leader. I don't want to be a great all-around leader. Yeah. What I want to make sure of is that I know my strengths and I'm going to focus on my strengths and do my strengths. So I would say this, that if there's any nuts and bolts on anyone that's going to be a church planter, know your strengths, follow your strengths, dig into your strengths, and then surround individuals around you that will help you in your weaknesses.
That's good.
And I think we would all agree with this, and those that are listening to the podcast, I know that you're really wanting to hear this word. And that is, we're not in any way in the nuts and bolts disregarding discipleship.
No.
That is definitely high on our list as church planters around this table. And that is, you've got to help others to become discipleship makers. And not only do you become discipleship makers, if you're going to start another congregation, than to be a disciple-making church. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I think are very important in the nuts and bolts.
Let me go here with it real quick on that. And that is, of course, here you are, you're a church planner, you know God's called you, and what you're, the next thing you're told or the next thing that people say is you need to have a vision. What's your vision?
Mm.
You heard that before?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the vision of the church, right? And I want to kind of go there and ask you all this question, because what I've realized is sometimes when you state a vision and you don't create a culture of change, what happens is you get stuck trying to do something that maybe has changed. And sometimes vision change?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and so I what I would do, I think one of the nuts and bolts is to establish immediately in your church a culture of change. That the people in your church would know, look, you know, this is not like a set course where it's all going to fall into place. And no, there's going to be trial and error. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be issues that we're going to start that aren't going to work. We have to be willing to scratch that and go into something else. In fact, I think talking about trends, it used to be where you could strategically plan for a church back in the day, right? They would do 5-10-year plan, growth plans.
You can't do it now.
You can't do that now. You're lucky if you can do it a month to month.
Yeah.
I mean, month to month is basically where you're at now, right? So I would say you need to make sure that you have a culture of change in your church.
That's right.
And that, and not only that, but you have to look at the different cultures that you're going to establish, because those cultures will make or break your church. So if you don't have a culture of invitation, guess what? Ain't nobody going to invite you to your church. If you don't have a culture of hospitality, you ain't gonna be a hospitable church. That's got to develop these cultures early on, but you have to do it intentionally. You have to do with that.
You have to do that to make it part of the congregation personality.
And to say, you know, don't be afraid that if you said we're gonna reach Northwest San Antonio and God all makes it says no, I want you to go to the South Side. It's okay. Go to the South Side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you thought maybe it was the Northwest Side. But God's calling. God opens the door on the south side. Go to the south side. You know, don't lock yourself in because you said something.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I love the fact that you brought that up, because I think, especially nowadays, I've attempted in my own life, when I first became even pastor where I'm at now, is let's give a 5-year and a 10-year focus. Man, forget it, man. It's Illuminati, bro. Illuminati confirmed right there, bro. It becomes a cult later on, man.
Yeah.
I had to come to a point where I'm saying, look, let time changes, seasons change. Yeah. And you got to allow yourself to change along with it. Because if not that, if you're only going to focus on the next 5 years, if it doesn't come to fruition, man, you'll discourage yourself. You'll get out. You can get out of ministry.
Well, not only you say, yourself, but the people that will always look at you. Well, brother, we're not doing that vision. How come we're doing?
I thought you said we're going to do this. You can't, because it's not fair to the church. At all, and it's not fair to you. And so there must be, I think, going back to nuts and bolts, flexibility. There's got to be room for change.
And adaptability.
You got to be moldable. Right? You got to be moldable in this thing, because if you're not moldable, you forget it.
What do you think, Herb, about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be able to adapt, because ideas that I thought that would come in and be able to make this church move didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't work. So I got to be able to come to a point where I'm listening to the advice of other people that have gone before me and listening to God, because I don't need another good idea. Mm-hmm. I need a God idea. And it comes back to me really being plugged into God on my knees, on my face, Herb, before God. And
with that God idea.
That's and good, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I hear people talk about this term, Godspeed. You know, Godspeed. And I know what they're talking about is, you know, I hope you get back, you know, safely. But I thought about in 2020, I want to move at Godspeed.
Come on, man.
And it just, this idea just came into my mind of how I don't want to just push in my own potential. I was just reading how, you know, God had told Moses, hey, who made the mouth? And I'm like, absolutely. And I'm going to use my mouth for his glory, but I want to move in his power, his potential. I want to move at that speed. And so it takes me being able to change and adapt to where God is calling me, how he's calling me to do it. Because even Moses, when he tried to do it, he's like, oh, isn't working out the way that I thought it was going to be. And God is like, just trust me, you know. You just keep being faithful.
Brother, real quick, I'm going to throw this out. And that is that I think it was Rick Warren, when he wrote his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, he said, we have to learn how to catch the wave. You know, what is God doing? We want God to come into what we're doing, but we need to learn how, you know, nuts and bolts, is find out what God is doing. As opposed to what we want to do. God, what do you want to do? And ride his wave, you know, into what he wants to do, as opposed to what we think we need to do. And that's discernment.
Yeah. What you had mentioned a little while ago, before we were on the air here, you were reading something to us.
Yeah.
And let's read that to us, brother, because I think that was pretty convicting, and I think it would speak to all of us. But
as I'm picking my phone back up, because I turned it off.
But anyway, can you wait for it? Let me just share this, that in the nuts and bolts, we talk about the culture that's to be established. Church planners, let me talk to you here. Develop a church, a culture of soul winning. Be a soul winner. Develop that culture about... engaging people with the gospel.
Amen.
You know, you've got folks. If you're gonna plant a church, you've got to present the gospel. You've got to share the gospel. Engage people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so,
can we also add with the gospel? Is it because of the generation that we live in now? With the gospel, Mark Middleburg said it the best, that apologetics is the handmaiden to evangelism. You know what I'm saying? It's utilizing also and knowing apologetics in your evangelistic
presentations.
Because today we're dealing with atheists, agnostics, skeptics, and other ideologies and other isms. That if we're going to share the gospel, which it has to be a heartbeat of ours, especially if we're going to bring people to Christ. Utilize evangelism in the process.
Well, when we were in our last podcast, we mentioned about the church planting center. Maybe and that was not brought up, but that needs to be definitely part of the institute, and that is the component of apologetics. Maybe it's not a component, but just part of it.
If not, that would be Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory, bro. All make believe.
I went to the Great Northwest to Washington State with some guys to see the church planting up there, and there was a guy who went with, his name is Seth Pittman. He's a youth guy out in Brownwood, I think, but he wrote this. He says, "We see the data, we read the books, yet in the American church, the number of churches declining, plateauing, or even closing is on the rise. To me, it is the definition of insanity. We have been trying to fix the issue." Using the same models over and over again, expecting different results. Insane, right? Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say this, is what you wanted me to say. He said, even existing churches may need to consider replanting to break the cycle of continued decline. It is time to stop hiding behind the way we used to, the way things used to be, and engage the reality of the way things actually are. Church work will be a heavy challenge over the next 10 to 15 years. Knowing that theological schools and institutions are going to have it to address the astronomical cost of theological education, the church is moving to the margins and will soon be underground. Churches and parachurch organizations cannot continue to expect co-vocational and even full-time pastors to attain an education that will leave them in a financial ruin over the next 10 to 20 years. Huh. So basically, you know, what he's saying, right? He's saying that there has to be a new way to see how we're going to do church. But at the same time, I don't think he's saying that there aren't some nuts and bolts. You know, there are nuts and bolts, but we have to be, well, part of that is recognizing the time that we're living in.
Yes.
The men of Issachar, right, understood the times in which they lived. If you're going to be a church planner, part of the nuts and bolts is understanding the time you live and then applying the things that we talked about, you know, a vision, equipping people, strategies. All those things, the strategies, those aren't going to change. But we have to realize that the world is around us is changing. The church is changing.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate your time coming together to this fourth podcast here at Sabbath Talks. And thank you so much for listening to this last podcast in church planting. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sabbath Talks podcast. We look forward to continuing our conversation next time in hopes of better connecting and